Okay, so we'll get started with Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. Less so. Less so. Less so. We begin with Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way, chapter one, called Perfect Joy. Homage to Manjushri Kumara, tender joy, tender, glorious, ever youthful. The Shravakas and those halfway to Buddhahood are born from the mighty sage. The Buddhas take their birth from Bodhisattva heroes. Compassion, non-duality, the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake are causes of the children of the conqueror. So here, this sets out how the various realizations, when we divide up Buddhism, occur. So we have the Hinayana and the Mahayana teachings. So the Hinayana vehicle, we can divide into various categories, but in this case, we can divide it into two categories, the Shravakas and the Pratyeka Buddhas. Shravakas are the hearers. Pratyeka Buddhas are called solitary realizers. So it's saying that those two types of beings are born from the Buddha. So they rely upon the Buddha in order for their occurrence. Now, all of these things rely upon what the Buddha's spoken and so forth. But we're speaking in terms of reliance and dependence for realization. It says that those hearers and solitary realizers rely upon the Buddha. The Buddhas take their birth from Bodhisattva heroes. So it means that how is a Buddha occur? A Buddha occurs by those teachings, but those teachings which cause a being to become a bodhisattva, which are the Mahayana teachings. The entrance into the Mahayana is bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So in order to become a Buddha, a practitioner has to be one who has entered the Mahayana and achieved the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And then by having that realization, he or she is a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva is a being who has bodhicitta. So it's saying the Buddha is caused by a bodhisattva. But one has to understand then how is a bodhisattva caused. So then it says, compassion, non-duality, the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake are the causes of the children of the conqueror. So here, this is referring to a bodhisattva of sharp capacity. Now, while compassion is one among the six causes in the 7-point cause and effect for realizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment, and the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake is the 7th result and step of that 7-point cause and effect for realizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Non-duality is not included when we look at the general practices for generating bodhicitta. So the reason non-duality is included here is because it's referring to a bodhisattva of sharp capacity who has this realization of emptiness already. So the sharp capacity bodhisattva is one who has the highest form of compassion, compassion which recognizes the unobservable, for instance. I won't go into more detail as the translators note, but that highest form of compassion is a compassion that's combined with emptiness. So the sharp capacity bodhisattva has this non-duality become a cause for them becoming a bodhisattva. But a dull capacity bodhisattva becomes a bodhisattva without that wisdom realizing emptiness. So just want to clarify that all bodhisattvas do not have the realization of emptiness necessarily, but there are some that have already realized emptiness before even becoming bodhisattvas. So that's a larger conversation. There are many different categories, but just as a note, there are beings who practice the entire Hinayana vehicle, become foe destroyers, and then have to go back and accumulate the merit and so forth and method necessary to get rid of the obstructions to omniscience. So they go back to the path of accumulation, generate bodhicitta and so forth. They've already been in nirvana as a foe destroyer. So there's various types of beings. And then there are those beings who realize emptiness as a Hinayanist, aren't foe destroyers, but then decide to start the bodhisattva vehicle. So you can read into this, but it's saying that those Hinayana practitioners, the hearers, the Nyentu and the Rangjel, are caused by Buddha. The Buddha is caused by a bodhisattva, a being who has achieved the mind that aspires to enlightenment, is a being which causes a Buddha to occur. And that being is caused by compassion, the wish for Buddhahood for others' sake. And if he or she is of sharp capacity, the wisdom realizing emptiness. Gunzo yi jorne.
Kazi jama chunzi yeme na. Kunzu dembi jun. Kunzu jama na. Ano kunzu dembi temba tiri ju kare. Ju yungu mare. Kunzu bayi jun kanji. Kanji joro. Yen si ta na. Zela cha bayi. Yide trape kunzu kunzu. Na cha las. Kunzu dembi me na.
Jikten drape the manga suruman. Gunzu demba mena. Ale, the triwa yere. Triwa. Yeah. Ale. The shilup, the uma, tenjowa, mayimba, triwa. Then kandre, the gunzundemba. Ale, okay. Okay. Yeah. The triwa, Rinpoche.
What do you say?
Okay. So, stanza number 78. Since dependent nature has not even slight existence, what then is the cause of relative phenomena? Because you are besotted with substantiality, you gainsay all the facts of ordinary life. Let me just go back to 77. If unknowable and unoriginate, dependent nature has a true existent, why don't you accept the childless woman's son? Wherein has he offended you? So that's, I remember leaving off around there. Since dependent nature has not even slight existence, what then is the cause of relative phenomena? Because you are besotted with substantiality, you gainsay all the facts of ordinary life. So it's saying that you have to be able to find a union of things being not truly existent while still having relative nature, while still having conventional nature. So it's saying that this dependent nature does not have substantial existence itself. So then conventional phenomena, the difficulty then is then seeing how conventional phenomena can be presented without being presented substantially. So we see the two faults of misunderstanding of the nature of reality are substantialism, which is seeing things as truly established, and nihilism is seeing things as not existence at all. So it's saying, like, how do you find things to not have this even slight existence when in terms of its dependent nature, in terms of its ultimate existence, while still having conventional nature? This is the question that's expounded. So you have to be able to posit those conventional things which are ordinary life to the worldly, and still state that they are empty while they are capable of performing their functions conventionally and existing. So with this existence isn't existence in terms of it existing, it's in terms of its inherent existence. Inherent existence and existence do not hold the same definition. The lopun. Dene Rinpoche, the gunzu dem, dene the gunzu demba don dun dun demba nicha chu tamche nicha yure. You're a bad. Okay. Dene the shiloka the ganse shenwang chunze yomin na gunzo pa yijor. The gunzu demba don dun dun demba nigu. Dundan demba mepa ke langamare, gunzu demba yoba ke langamare. The umma, jube.
Kete jima gunzu yomena, jima yoba imaina, gunzu demba ju yomare, ju nkanji is.
Less so.
Gunzu dentu umare is. Jesana Zilla Chapai didn't have a good Tajama Masalon and didn't have a noja Gungalag. Yes,
less so.
Devil Azuma Tajilag is Super Ludu Shaji Lanle, Shiru Jula Shari Tomatos Super Ludu Shaji Lanle, Shiru Jubayin, Mazalabaina.
Yeah, that's so.
Tabatua Juyo Mares.
Less so. Me data lasso, Rimuche, Tuchena.
Yeah.
Okay, then eh?
Should do a shoot of Kudu de Zelina. Kudu de Valina, Baina, Zelina, Saba to a miss. Kudu de Valina, Baina, and Sabaja to Mores.
Less so, less so, less so.
Tanya de Vasazu Jovana, the Don de Vasazu Jovatis.
Less so. Before, I just have to make sure I express this. So it is an dependence upon the conventional reality that the ultimate reality is found. And likewise, the ultimate reality is able to still find the conventional reality without finding contradiction whatsoever. So that is the only path that has been presented in that way with clarity, without grasping at either nihilism or substantialism, is that path presented by Nagarjuna. So it's not saying that Nagarjuna is the only being that has ever presented it. It's saying that the way that Nagarjuna presents what the Buddha presented, I'm sorry, what Nagarjuna is presenting is the highest view that the Buddha presented. So anything that is concordant with what Nagarjuna presented is the ultimate correct view that grasps in no way at nihilism or substantialism. So what the view that Nagarjuna holds is the Buddha's ultimate view, or the Buddha's final view. And any view that is the same as what Nagarjuna holds is the ultimate final view. So Chandrakirti's views, Aryadeva's views, Lama Tsongkhapa's views when he's presenting the middle way consequence, Jelsup, Kirtipje, all of these teachers who follow the Madhyamika Prasangika school. Now you will find many teachers such as Kamala Shila and Chandrashita and Hari Bhadra who do not fall into that final category. So this is why the differentiation is made, because even though those masters have presented many, many illuminating facts, their final view of emptiness is not complete because they hold middle way autonomy views and so forth. So if it is concordant with exactly what Nagarjuna said, such masters as Chandrakirti, Aryadeva, and Shantideva also present in that way, then it is the ultimate correct view. Okay. The Sheda Selpudu Rinpoche. So, accept the path expounded by the honored Master Nagarjuna. There is no means to transcendent peace. All others fail to grasp the truths of suchness and conventionality, and therefore liberation lies beyond their reach. So here, Chandrakirti is even going further to say, no presentation other than that presentation Nagarjuna has given of emptiness will get you to any kind of nirvana. So some people say, well, that's a Hinayana view, and you can get to Hinayana Nirvana with just this idea that there is no self of person. And that's negated by Aryadeva in the 400 verses, but it's also negated here in Chandrakirti's text, where it says that without realizing the Madhyamika Prasangika view of emptiness, the middle way consequence view of emptiness, one cannot achieve liberation. So here it just means freedom from cyclic existence can't be obtained without realizing the Madhyamika Prasangika view. That is the point that's being made here, and it's saying that liberation is still beyond your reach. You can't get rid of the afflictive obstructions without Nagarjuna's final, the view of Nagarjuna. And the view of Nagarjuna is the Madhyamika Prasangika school. Digsung Rinpoche, Sheda Selpudu, the Rinpoche, the Lamrim Chemo. The Latong Chembo Natsu Sheda Pentogudu.
Yeah.
Sheda Pentogudu.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lopun Lodru Shaji Lan Le. The Kangalos.
Lan Le Shuru Juba in Antabatua Toy.
The Lapson. The Dagunzu.
The Dagunzu, the Nitelle, yeah. Telling of a tabatu is Kundu never the Mabaina, then a tabatu to Maris.
So
Kundu never Lumena, Kundu to Lumena, tabatu to Maris.
So if you don't have the mind that realizes conventional truth, you can't be liberated.
Kundu never do not the Bacanerisana, Kundu never send it, Kundu to the Tama.
So the definition of conventional truth, I'd like to get, can you give me mind in Tibetan Buddhism? It's right up there. It should be, I might have been thumbing through it. So the definition, I can do it loosely, I'm sure. So the definition of conventional truth is a valid cognition of the conventional, of conventional. And the definition of ultimate truth is valid cognition of ultimate. So it's just saying, basically the definition is saying that that which is correctly labeled as conventional and that which is correctly labeled as ultimate. So I think that might not. Sorry, I gave the wrong. So I can. One moment. Oh, that's not the right one. That's all right. Meditation on emptiness up there. All right, so those are the basic definitions of conventional truth and ultimate truth. Dene de gunzo dembi seni de gunzo tsema.
Tanya dubi tsema. Tanya dubi tsema suni yedu.
Tanya dubi tsema. Should be on the top shelf. No meditation on that. Huh. Okay. That's Gurumche. There's no reason to rush. Only reason I'm spending the time, everyone, is if he keeps going further into this, I want to just have all the frames of references ready. Truths. Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay, so that's fine. So the a concealed phenomena. So truths are those things that exist the way that they appear. So a direct valid cognition of the way that something appears and those which realizes ultimate emptiness. So there are the objects are truths only for a concealer of subject suchness. So the conventional, the reason it's called concealer truth is it's concealing its actual identity. So its actual identity is its ultimate nature, but its concealing truth or its conventional truth is that which it appears to be and is labeled as in order for it to be used and so forth. But that is actually masking its ultimate truth. So a correct one of those related to conventional is the definition of conventional truth, and a correct one related to the ultimate is the definition of ultimate truth. So that's how you would break down the definition that Rinpoche is giving. Okay. Digson Rinpoche, Selpudu.
Yeah.
Nene. De la nyampe tarpa dru. Let's go.
De la nyampe tarpa dru means kundu deba dudu kundu deba meba is meba lava yena kundu deba lud mena tarpa tutu mares. De la nyampe tarpa dru means
tanye
tanye deba tozu chobata. Don't never tell you about this. Could you never do a lot of judges? Tell a tenant not to be loose jiggers. Could you do a lot of don't to be loose jiggers?
Less so.
Could you do a lot of juda? Don't to be loose and devil. Could you do a jula tenant? Don't to be loose jiggers.
Less so. Touche. So conventional reality therefore becomes the means, and by this means the ultimate is reached. Those who do not know how these two differ err in thought and take mistaken paths. So one has to know what the object of negation is basically here. So one has to recognize the conventional reality. So it's recognizing that it's a valid cognition of a conventional reality. then one looks to see what that conventional or concealer reality is concealing. And when one then looks at the ultimate truth of the object, one sees dependent origination. Rinpoche said it's a cause and effect, that one needs to be able to have the mind that realizes the conventional in order to have an object of negation. Because without a proper object of negation, then you can become lost. If you take too much away and don't posit the conventional, then you'll end up at nihilism. You won't find anything there. So you have to find out what's there first and then take it apart and understand that it's two sides of the same coin. So emptiness and conventional reality need each other, because there has to be something to be empty for emptiness to be there. And if something is there, there's emptiness there. So that's why there's two sides of the thing. We're not saying that something that isn't existent is empty. We're saying that something that's very existent in terms of conventional is empty. And what that all means is, it's very easy to say, oh, something's empty because it dependently originates. But what does that actually mean is the big deal behind that. Okay. Nene? The Tanya Denba Ta Su Jorpa Dong Dundan Denba
Tanya Denba Tazu Jorpa Dundan Denba Tazu Jorpa Des Kudu Dibulu Jores Tala Dena Dundan Dibulu Jores
Deni Nanje De Lapson Deni Nanje Deni Namje
Deni Nanje
Oh, I see. Okay. So conventional reality, therefore, becomes the means, and by this means, the ultimate is reached. Those who do not know how these two differ err in thought and take mistaken paths. So if you do not understand that conventional existence brings about ultimate existence, and ultimate existence, relies on conventional reality. It doesn't rely on it. That's not really the best way to translate it either, though. Conventional reality has ultimate reality, and ultimate reality has conventional reality. And there is no phenomenon that is findable that does not have both. So without knowing how they differ and without being able to posit both, one will not be able to obtain liberation, err in thought, and take the wrong path. So it's very important to be able to establish conventional reality and ultimate reality, how those two differ. And why all phenomena have both. Unlike you, who think dependent nature is a true existent, even for the all-concealing relative, we make no claims. And yet, to gain the fruit, we speak in harmony with worldly folk and grant that things exist, though they do not. Unlike you who think dependent nature is a true existence. So it's negating some of the lower schools of Buddhism and non-Buddhist. This could be Rinpoche, this Supangdu, the Umaranjupa Shilupa, the Kanga, the Charan, the Dandel, the Yoba Yin Kalan, the cover, the Ditsku, Tanya Denda, Jopa, Dundan Den, Tajo, the Denina, if you can't say those two. Jitar Juji, Shiwang, Udutar, Gunzo, Jani, Dagi, Kalan, the Gare.
Dish it to that man, Johns. Debbie, you be sure, never to a man, John. You're to see it, and then you say after contest with your prisoner. You think to be touched on your bodies. You think a tongue was on your bodies. You think what she done, Mahashi.
Then a suit jeek demba get you shay. Uma tenjorwa suit.
Ale,
Chiron the Jik Temba La Dong Demba Gelwa.
Less so. Yeah.
Okay, Tuche, just folks, give me 1 second to just figure out how to put this into words. Unlike you who think dependent nature is a true existence, even for the all. So here it's saying that even though things do not truly exist, we are able to speak in harmony with the world because they do conventionally exist. How do they conventionally exist? How do we say that we are not just lying? Why are we speaking in harmony? Because we say that things exist by way of nominal designation. So you have a basis of designation, which is suitable to be named this or that. And then you have a being with a consciousness who then observes that those parts and labels them as, we'll say, car. But there is no car from its own side without those parts being then labeled, and those parts don't have any carness to them. They are merely parts put together that are suitable to be labeled as car. So when we say that things exist, we say they exist by way of imputation. So that is in harmony with the world because we say, yes, that car does exist. But it's saying, unlike you who think that dependent nature is truly existent. So there are schools that, sub-schools that believe that this dependent origination has some true existence. So Rinpoche said that the previous line... who differ, so this stanza 80 is negating the mind-only school and other views that don't see this means that there is this harmony between the two. And then 81, the Middleway Autonomy School, which is the Middleway School just below the Middleway Consequence School, still holds with some inherent existence in the process of dependent origination. They state that it takes me labeling it, and it takes that thing over there having some car-ness to it. We come together, and then there is a car that comes about. The Consequence School says no, that there's no car-ness on that side over there. So this is negating that idea that this dependent nature has some kind of inherent existence within it. So it's the Rangjupa, Umarangjupa school, a Middleway Autonomy School, the Rinpoche is saying, stanza 81 negates. I'm specifically, but there are probably other schools somewhere that would think that dependent origination is a true existent too. But Rinpoche is saying that specifically we're speaking to the Middleway Autonomy School. Any mistakes that are being made are mine. This is really deep water here. We haven't swam in a while, so just bear with me. But there's nothing incorrect coming out. If I've missed anything, I apologize. Okay, then Drew Chu, the Jikden de la the Jikden la Jong Yo Che Da Me Ma Gel De.
Driven in the middle of a major, that I used to send the condenser, you do the condenser now. You tell the general down to over this. General, she was done the marshes. General, good to the blue, now only orders. Marshe, to that pumpable, she's over. That one on the other mean theater. Dada lejon, dada, dada ten la yam, mena, tijinder, yidin lejon, yuji, damemas.
I found it.
That and then, that, to the pomopone, sheshubas, pomopone, shivashuba, tabal, tabal lua, shuba, drajunala, yaba me tatar. Jitelaya Mede Mena Tijinder Jitel Leja Yuji Dama Mas. That never to what Jitel Yuji Dama Ma. Kitichula Jitel Menona Sasama Chula Jitel Bagmanona Jitel. Then garbages.
And hey, Rinpoche, the Da Jomba, the Donagare, the Da Jomba, the Pumbo Yo Maribe, Da Jomba.
Dragon, Kuzu Dabatu was the Jitel Tanya to Yuji and Umatanyo Dag Magumaris, Lagumaris.
Been a Rinpoche. The Da Jomba. the core wa pumbo yomare yine pumbo yure jikten pumbo
pumbo pone shwala jobate dajumala yomare
ga pumbo garipong pumbo garipong dajumba
ku pumbo
ale
ga ku pumbo ma boni yoro haje dajum de lame dajum hame dajum pore
Gutsuson. Then the Lame da Jumba. Then Lame, the da Jumba. Pumbo yere yene korwa pumbo yomare. Okay, tuche. So then it says, unlike you, who think dependent nature is true existent, even for the all-concealing relative, we make no claims, and yet to gain the fruit, we speak in harmony with worldly folk and grant that things exist, though they do not. If, as for the arhats, those who dwell in peace, abandoning the aggregates, there are no objects in the sphere of everyday experience, we in turn would never say that things exist. So here it's saying that the arhats abandon the aggregates of cyclic existence. So because they are able to abandon those things which label incorrectly, they no longer have cyclic existence. They no longer have this experience of cyclic existence. So how could we say that these things are truly existent in some way if a foe destroyer no longer has the experience of them? So if there isn't any, let's say, so this is all abandoning the middle way autonomy school. So it's saying that if you say that there is some sort of carness there from the side of the car, then the Hinayana foe destroyer would not unexperience a worldly version of that car. So what the foe destroyer sees there or labels it as, we're not positing. There's something there, there are parts there, but the experience of cyclic existence is no longer there, and the grasping incorrectly is no longer there. So it's saying if that stuff's not static, then you can't say that this world exists ultimately in some way. And if you can't say it exists ultimately in some way by using that kind of form of logic, and then you compare both of those examples to the norm, to anyone, ordinary people who can think, they'll follow the middle way consequence view, because the middle way autonomy view falls apart when you come to the point where you see that a foe destroyer abandons the observation of cyclic existence. So the car we see is a car that has the truth of suffering, which is this car which is cyclic existence. Is cyclic existence. You just have to study more into it to understand that our observation of the environment around us is a cyclic, our samsara. It's our samsara. When we don't have our samsara, the observations change, the labeling changes. It's why a god sees a nectar and a human sees water and et cetera, et cetera. The way we put the parts together maybe changes. So it's saying if that's possible, it can't have any ness to it. It has to have more possibilities than that. So that it's all it's saying. If you explain that to an ordinary person, they're going to say, yeah, the middle way autonomy school is wrong. So that's what Chandrakirti is saying here. I don't know what ordinary people could swallow this information and be like, yeah, Nagarjuna is right. But that's what it's saying here. If you just explain this to someone with an ordinary person, they would follow the Nagarjuna view. So it's saying that. And this Rinpoche is saying, negating ultimately the second to highest school in Buddhism. Okay, then this I think starts to do the clearly manifest as something negating mind only usually. Okay, then eh? Shudang jikten. The nay, the contradict. And the chu dong jikte the shine kaba si sum si pasum si. Okay, Rinpoche, si sum nam she sam du gang du pa.
Si sum nam she sam du gang du pa. Si pa sum de, si pa chisi pa si, ngon du si pa. Si pa sum de, nam she sam du. Tu be ta sam du. Gang du pa. Ta da she bu, ka ba.
The Rinpoche, the Ngonjur, Ngonju, Shanchu, Sembayi, Sisum. They got it, the Ngonjur, Ngonju, Shanchu, Sembayi.
Shanchu, Sembayi, Sisum, Nashu. Ngonju, Ngonju, Shanchu, Sembayi, Ngonju, Ngonju, and Shanchu, Sembayi, Yoruba. Shanchu, Sembayi, Yoruba. Seba Sundan, to be a thousand, to rest.
Ale, long.
Antuba.
The long yin, Rinpoche. Sanjay long. This Sanjay do long.
Manu Ganju Sanju Sambaye. Manu Ganju Sanju Sambaye. Kartu Resana. Chise Bazin, not somewhat there. To be a thousand, to rest. Sesu nashe zanto, kanto pa. Tata shebu kaba, tu shi te. Tata, tabi date, njiten sheba pa yinba te, ka, tuba te, sheba pa ni sen zan yinba tos. Kansu sheba pa sen zan, sen ki ta zan tuye pa des.
Lasa, de mola, de shir. Look.
This is Luna Luna.
This is awesome.
PG, this is Luna Luna, PG, Langa Shendu Tele, Kunjanje, Mati, Ponton, Rejun, Naraje,
Dorje,
Dujin, Gumba, Jesus. Langa Have a tada shibo. Shibo, huh? Zine.
There it is. Jawe.
As I shibo. Shibo songs. Kansu shibo, but the Sanji, Santa, you must know what is.
Less up.
Jawe Santa. Shibo song.
Then it's Sam, the Ming Da. In it, Chu Tamche Sam Yomare, Chu Tamche Sam Ming Da. Rebet.
Sang it down on the other.
Okay. Okay, so. Advancing irreversibly on the clearly manifest, such bodhisattvas understand the triple world as merely consciousness because they know there is no self or permanent creator. They understand that the creator is the mind alone. So here, there is important clarification. When it says the mind alone, it means that the mind is the labeler. It's not saying the mind is creating the objects outside of it. It's saying that the mind is labeling those objects outside of it. Therefore, those objects are brought into being by the mind. So that's the clarification there. It's not in the mind-only school sets a lot of its view on this idea that the mind is the creator of the triple world. In order to increase the wisdom of the wise and clarify his thought, the Buddha knowing all expounded in the Sutra of the Journey into Lanka diamond words that crush the heathen teachings lofty like the mountains. For in their books and treatises, the heathen teachers postulate creators, personal or otherwise, but since he found no evidence for them, the Buddha said that the mind alone is the maker of the world. So here it's negating the creator, the idea that things and the world come about or are created by self, by other, by a combination of both, or are causeless. So ultimately, this text is a middle way consequence view text, a Madhyamika Prasangika view text. So it's always implicitly speaking in terms of that. Anything that's being negated is basically anything that holds a view below that view. There are many ways that these teachings have been interpreted, but other ways that they have been interpreted are negatable and are refutable. So the final view of Nagarjuna is not refutable. So it's saying, since we can't find a God, it's not logical that God created this, or that we, our mind itself, created all of it, or that it outside has some kind of static nature that wasn't caused by anything, or somehow ourselves and it made it, or somehow a God and us together, God gave us a skill to have our own personal identity, and then we labeled it. So all of these things are being negated. It said, since the Buddha looked at all of these non-Buddhist traditions and couldn't find any of them to hold true, the Buddha stated that the only thing that is logical and that is not refutable is that things come into being by the mind. Not are the mind, come into being by the mind. How? The mind puts them together, discriminating awareness puts them together and then labels them as this or that, and then makes more labels about this or that's quality. The Buddha said the mind alone is the maker of the world. So let's stop there. That's a lot. And let's do question and answer from there. Maybe Rinpoche, the Tanda Chua Don Lenja, that's Moalo. Chan Sang. Yeah, Rinpoche wants to do questions. So give me 1 second to just go over to that. And Rinpoche, Tuchena, this Sheda Yapudu, did Zambaling Kasa Kala, Doni Dopi, Dawa, Doni Dawa, then Nyun Nyun, Mambo Yomare, then he tearing, then Natsu Me Junga Tanda Yure, the Tanda, the Gemma Me Moa, the computer Dagare, Chikshina, the Gemma, the Ja, Don. The chi boom dagare. Then a this sheda gombore Rinpoche. The umi tenjo dawa sheda gombore. Then a chiron getru kashe. That's umi tenjo dawa shingdu. Then a nga jesu yerawa gangin sena. Then le laba yomare. Then chiron atsu dimitason.
Yeah.
So I was just thanking Rinpoche. I was saying that if we looked in the entire world and tried to find where there was a teaching on the middle way consequence view being given, it would be very, very hard to find. And it'd be then harder to find where it'd be giving correctly without error. And we see that we have this opportunity to study these very rare teachings that are the most difficult teachings to understand. And I said to Rinpoche that because of his kindness, some of us are able to understand a very, very little bit of it, whereas without it, we wouldn't even understand a stanza, or we'd get it completely wrong and go down a wrong path, which could cause many lifetimes of suffering. So Rinpoche has literally given us a key to open a door, and without that key, the door can't open. So I told him, thank you for that key. Because really, we take for granted this idea that we understand nominal designation that makes things not truly existent, but they are existent. If you understand even a little bit of those words or have a doubt, Arya Davis said that even if you have a doubt about the nature of reality, if you say, huh, I'm not sure if things are dependently originated or not, but they may be, Arya Davis said that that thought alone would shake samsara. So thank you. Here we go. I'm going over to questions. I think we're getting this down. So if a being becomes a foe destroyer, does that mean that he will have only good lives while working towards ultimate Buddhahood? Glad you asked. Reason I said that is I left one thing out. There are two kinds of foe destroyer. Foe destroyer with remainder and without remainder. A foe destroyer with remainder means that they are liberated, but they haven't died yet. They haven't meaning they don't really die. They haven't moved from their current aggregates yet. So there is a foe destroyer with remainder and a foe destroyer without remainder. Foe destroyer means that one has destroyed the enemy. The enemy here are the afflictions. There are afflictive obstructions, and there are obstructions to omniscience. A Hinayana foe destroyer has destroyed the enemy of the afflictive obstructions. A Mahayana foe destroyer is a Buddha. A Mahayana foe destroyer has destroyed the afflictive obstructions and the obstructions to omniscience. The Rinpoche, Triwa.
Okay.
Nene, the Dajumba. The Sache Same, the Dajumba. Kashe Pumbo Yure, Sache Pumbo. Then Kashe Yomare. Dene the lo chi lo gatsidu the sa pumbo da jumba.
Ah, da jumbo lo gatsidu
the the pumbo yoba.
Ku pumbo yoba the mebani. Ku pumbo yoba the lachi da jumba.
Lache da jumba lo gatsi degdu. And the lo de se chi se gatsi degdu.
Lo gatsi de hako marta.
Se gatsi.
Haji da jumba lo gatsi de ma de hako marta.
Se gatsi.
Kashi nyuma de.
It's Rinpoche. One life, two life, se gatsu. Se.
No.
Da jumba. The lache da jumba. Cheka lama, lame da jumba. The jewa yanjer. Jewa tsar. Lache da jumba, jewa yurube.
Jewa de yure. Jewa de yure. Haji Dajun was Dajun to the Jewa level Gomaro. Pombo Ku Pombo Bonsona, Lame Sandro.
Sar. Yanjer Pombo Langamare.
Lego, Same Pombo, Same Pombo Lansana, Saji Pombo Tabaton, Pombo Same Sandro.
Okay, so once the Hinayana foe destroyer, gets rid of the nirvana with remainder. So gets rid of the remainder, then he or she never has remainder again, which are aggregates. So then once those aggregates are gone, then there isn't a taking on of more aggregates. So if a being becomes a foe destroyer, doesn't that mean that he will have only good lives while working towards ultimate Buddhahood? So Coleman, a foe destroyer means that they are either in, they're in nirvana. There's a Hinayana foe destroyer, which there are two kinds of foe destroyer with remainder and without remainder. Basically, it's like the last life and they get rid of the aggregates and then they're in nirvana. but they no longer have suffering. It's, you'd have to look into it. It's called a foe destroyer with remainder and without remainder. And a Mahayana foe destroyer is a Buddha. Or is it possible that they will suffer? No, foe destroyers don't suffer. But you could say that Rinpoche, the Teme Da Jumba Dumyo Yurube. Then Lame Da Jumba, the Shiji Pakcha Yure, the Dumyo Yomaribe. Shiji Pakcha Dumyo Yomaribe. Okay, so a Hinayana foe destroyer does not, without remainder, does not have suffering. You could say there's some, because the aggregates are still there, the remainder is still there for a reason, some sort of, something else has to be purified. There, it's possible to say they have suffering, because what is suffering? Suffering is cyclic existence, and they still have remainder of that. What is found to exist in dependent arising? What is found to exist in dependent arising? Everything exists that dependently arises, but everything that exists dependently arises. So what is found in dependent arising? Conventional truth. What is found in conventional truth? Emptiness. What is emptiness? Dependent arising. In Nagarjuna's In Praise of Dharmadhatu, he speaks in positive terms about the luminous nature of the mind, which is stainless and primordial. Is this experience of the luminous nature of the mind also dependently originated? Everything's dependently originated. The luminosity of the mind is caused by a previous moment luminosity of the mind. Rinpoche, the sem uzer dendel yin.
Da.
Sem uzer dendel yin.
Da.
Sem uzer. Usem. Usem.
Usem.
Dendel yinba.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Kandre.
Who's the Kandre? Is a
Kandre.
Who's the Jula Dende Chuba? Jula Dende Chuba is a Dende Chuba. Dende.
So because the luminous mind is dependent, the Uze Mitapa Tapa Yin. So the because it's in this case, even the mind itself is impermanent. The luminous mind is impermanent. All impermanent things have causes. If it's impermanent, it necessarily has a cause. If it's impermanent, it also is necessarily a result. So it is a cause of something and a result of something. So the primordial, primordial, if that means always. Because it's just like beginningless, I think stainless and beginningless is a better way to translate that. Sometimes primordial leans towards inherently existent. That word is tricky because that's what the Samkhya school, the enumerators say creates everything, a primordial ooze. And that's not what Buddhism says at all. It just says that this luminous mind that we have was caused by a previous luminous mind, caused by. You can't find a beginning to it. So we would say primordial, but we wouldn't posit it as some inherent nature. It's consciousness and it's dependent. Dependent on what? Dependent on its cause, because it's a result. And it is a result. This moment's clear light mind, or this moment's, I don't know if it luminous nature of the mind, clear light mind, is that what you're referring to, but the clarity of the mind. The Rinpoche, look, I'm going to also translate it in another way. If you're talking about the mind's nature being clear and knowing, if that luminosity, if you're not talking about the clear light mind, if you're just talking about the clear of the clear light mind, then let me figure that out. Rinpoche. Sheba gitseni sel shing ripa. Selwa dendel yimba.
What?
Sheba gitseni sel shing ripa.
Sheba sel shing ripa.
Sel shing ripa. Se gare. Sewa se shing se gare.
No.
Se shing ripa se gare se gare. Se donde gare.
Sheba gitseni.
Se donde gare. Se shing ripa se. Don't guard it.
You, but as soon as you see me, you zo says in river.
So the clear, so the definition of consciousness is that which is clear and knowing. So the clear part of that means that it doesn't have any predetermined idea. That's why it's able to just observe, and then the mind, the consciousness is able to observe without any kind of predetermined notion, and then it makes ideas around it. But the consciousness itself is that which is clear and knowing. It's not loaded with anything, and that's why it's able to become purified. That's why consciousness itself is clear and knowing. Now, what we put into it is other stuff, but the consciousness itself is clear and knowing. So I don't know if that helps at all. It's just two things. There's clear light mind, so that's dependently originates because it's a result. And the luminosity itself just means, or the clear and knowing, the clear of it, just means that it's not predetermined. It doesn't have the mind itself doesn't have any loaded ideas into it. It's just it's a blank canvas, if you will. That's it. So it's like a blank canvas. So that's its clear part. Then it becomes luminous, and then we can misinterpret it sometimes. Not saying this person did or anything. I'm just saying it's very easy to use words that are kind of can lean in ways that aren't what they mean. Is that all the questions? I think it is. I opened all of them for four QEs. Okay, so Rinpoche, chuat sar, dene de hua dan, de tuji Rinpoche, gutsi shabi dener lam.
Nasa jik cha zuyare, wad le drama ge zun tan, hala ge zun dins, un tari du tari duri suwa, teya ta un bekhan, bekhan, maan bekhan, zanda samen ga de suwas.
So right now in the world, we have this epidemic, pandemic, COVID-19, and Rinpoche just advises everyone to please, because if you're suffering from the sickness or suffering from knowing others that are suffering or just suffering, worrying about getting it, the best thing you can do is engage in prayer and meditation. One advice is to engage in the prayer of Tara. Om Tare Ture Soha. Tara is the female Buddha and is associated with long life, longevity, and health, and also wisdom. She is the manifestation of Buddha's enlightened activities. So is a very skillful and a very good practice to do. So that's the Tara practice. And then the other is Medicine Buddha. Medicine Buddha is a Buddha that in previous lives made prayers to be able to help sentient beings with medicine. So we know that causes are concordant with the results. So this particular Buddha had more of an affinity, although all Buddhas have the same exact qualities, this one had more of an affinity for helping those that are sick. So if we pray to Medicine Buddha, we can then be helped as well. Medicine Buddha's mantra is Teata Om Bekenze Bekenze Maha Bekenze Bekenze Ranzo Samogati Soha. So this is Rinpoche's advice for us during this difficult time. Dene?
Mwa Dixon? Yeah. Tandizun.
Okay, so now we'll do the dedication, concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. Samanta Bhadra dedication, long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and long life prayer for Khenpo Geshe Wangdak Rinpoche. And again, anyone who hears these advices about doing these practices of Tara and Medicine Buddha, please be gentle on yourselves. Tantrayana is a practice that's done ultimately, really, by bodhisattvas. Those beings who are highly realized utilize it as a swifter path to get to Buddhahood. But it relies upon the earlier realizations for it to really work in its fullest way. What I myself can do with it is form imprints and then make aspirations and help others by reciting it that are hopefully in the intermediate state and can hear my prayers because I've made prayers for them to be able to. I don't have very much power or very much understanding, but what I can do is leave imprints of the practice so when I am a bodhisattva, I can really, really do it. So what I just try to do is just imagine the deity as well as I can in front of me, make the various offerings and seven limb prayers, and then just recite the mantra and imagine that the mantra is coming off the deity and helping everyone in various rays and nectars. Or you can make it more difficult with your seven limb prayer, make it more and more detailed. And you can do the same thing with a self generation. So just be gentle on yourselves. There's a lot of books and these huge visualizations written by Trijung Rinpoche and Ashok Rinpoche. These are monsters, these are giants who started when they were 10 and then realized they could meditate on this when they were 70. After a Geshe degree is 6.5 days a week from when you're like, 10, 12 years old until you're 40 or so. And that's all you do. You're not studying science and physics, and you're studying a little bit of that worldly stuff, but you're studying Buddhism all that time, and you're meditating all that time. And then you go do a retreat on that, the kind of preliminary stuff, and then you go study Tantra after you get a Geshe degree. In the curriculum Rinpoche studies, they do get initiations and so forth, but they really, really start to study Tantra after their Geshe degree. And then they go to a Tantric university. They complete that Tantric university after a Geshe degree. And then they do a retreat. So that's the kind of qualifications and foundation that the people who've written the books that we're reading have had to do those practices. So just be gentle on yourself, please. Concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samanta Bhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. Hold on one second. I think this is important. Samanta Bhadra dedication. We just read through this. What does this mean? I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samanta Bhadra as well. What this is saying is I want to do a dedication like Manjushri would do. Manjushri is the Buddha of wisdom. Samanta Bhadra is a bodhisattva who was most famous for making offerings and making beautiful prayers. So this prayer is saying, I can't possibly make a dedication that would be as good as them. So whatever they would say, that's what I want to say. So that's what this prayer means. It's saying, however Manjushri and Samanta Bhadra would dedicate their virtue, that's how I want to dedicate my virtue, because I am nowhere near as qualified as they are to dedicate virtue. So it's saying, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times. So, and then any other dedications that a Buddha would praise, I want to say that too. Whatever a Buddha of the past, present, and future would say, I want to say that. That's how I want to dedicate. And then whatever goodness I've done, let's throw that in there too. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. So it's saying I'm like this big, everything else is like this big, and I want to become this big. But I have to start with what I have right now, and that's this, which is where it starts. And now, in prayer, long life for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tujiram Chigutsi Shapi Denronam.
Yeah, yeah.
We say this prayer for Rinpoche. The five great philosophical texts, five great categories of wisdom that they study. They call them the five books in Drepung, Sera, Ganden, Jato, you know, all of the Drepungs, all of the Sera and Ganden, all of the scholars refer to the five books. Those five books refer to Dharmakirtis, Pramanavartika, Karika, then to the Abhisama Alamkara by Lord Maitreya, then the Madhyamika Avatara by Chandrakirti. So this book that we're studying today is one of those five great philosophical texts. Then the Abhidharma Kosha by Basu Bandhu, and then the Vinaya Sutra by Gunaprabha. So these are the five great texts. Dharmakirti, Maitreya, Chandrakirti, Basu Bandhu, Gunaprabha. So these are the five texts that we talk about, and these are the Putishunga, the Putinga Garre, the Ne the Nge the Semanandrel, Ngudujen, Umajupa, the Ze, the Zu, Zu, Dua. Gang Sina Natsu Dakpa, the Chirang Kandun. The putting ah, then garre, the yabudu.
That you come back to the Sajid Chamudua. What the page pair tagat on the abudu taga.
Okay. Okay.
Lural.
Joka la garre. Joka la.
Get the combat on the Sachamudua.
Let's say.
What on the page. Per daga daga tagne abdua.
Daga gare. Daga.
Not.
Oh. Gotcha. Rinpoche is saying, I have this beautiful place and we should make sure we plant vegetables and fruit, peaches and pears and nuts and whatever you plant in a big place of land, because we have that. So Tu chena Rinpoche. Tu ji Rinpoche. Gutsi shapi denona.
Oh, yeah, that is one.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Geshe. And also, please, everyone say prayers for Geshe Nima. He helps out so much. He's there every day, day in and day out, and taking care of Rinpoche. And Rinpoche has been able to stay healthy. And everybody's really been very careful around Rinpoche to make sure that we all, you know, everyone's masks on and Cloroxing all the counters and spaces before he goes near them. And just want to say thank you for all your hard work in keeping Rinpoche safe and healthy. Bye.